You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on August 23rd, 2023, and is titled Faithful Word. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
As in the 50-year removal of God's Word from our public places, our schools, courthouses, things, the removal of public prayer, the removal of adult prayer in our school system, all these different things that seemed to nauseate everybody, and I took my turn until I realized we had people at home who warmed the pews of buildings every week who did not understand that God was near. Therefore, they never talked to him like he was near. Didn't live like he was near. When I'm at home in my prayer times, I catch myself whispering while I'm talking to Jesus. There's no need in waking the robin up. It's just me and him. We're good. Do you know he's near here now? Yeah, you just talk to him. I don't have to scream at Jesus. I just got to scream at some of y'all every now and then. But catch one of you kind of nodding off a little bit. He said, let the wicked forsake his way. Let them do what they're going to do. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And then let him return to the Lord. You see, there's always an opportunity for the unrighteous in our life. And this is the part I got to remind myself. You know, grace, God has grace for a lot of people that I don't have grace for. Maybe not a lot, but there's a couple, three, four, five, six. They can come back. It don't matter how bad you've been. It don't matter. You go in prison all the time. I used to hang out around there quite a bit. The sheriff. Sheriff, there's a lot of good guys in jail, ain't you? They just don't know it yet. Some of them, but they figure it out sometimes. Yeah. Let them come return to the Lord. Why would anybody come to the Lord? Here's how we do it in America. Here's how we've done it for years. You better get saved, Curtis Allen, because you might die tonight pulling out on the highway and you're going to hell. Isn't that how we do it? Yeah, and if you belong to the right tribe, with getting that water, you're going to hell. Hurry up. Everything's about going to hell. Maybe some of you just been having a little of it. How about we just promote a better way to live? What if we made this for the unrighteous and the ungodly? What if we became the example in our families of men and women who served God every day, not out of a sense of religion, but out of a sense of relationship, because we understood the nearness and nowness of God, and our lives began to display a different way of living that brought peace and joy and people who smiled and didn't gripe and complain all the time. People that wasn't around looking for the boogeyman all the time. People who had confidence in themselves and had faith in their prayers and faith in the God that they were talking to, and began to live that way in public, where the unrighteous would look at you after that, you know, after they played that country song backwards 900 times and you finally get your house back and your dog back and your wife back and all that stuff. You go through all that stuff and they look around and they go, hey, how come you're not like me? You know, we want everybody to be like us. When are we going to start living in a way they look at us and go, how come you're not like me? Well, because. But one of these days, there's a way of living here that you just come back to the Lord. But you're going to have to do more than pray a prayer and blow some snot and have somebody lie to you about your salvation. You're going to have to truly get born again. That's how that works. The rest of that is, I don't know what that is, but that's not this. And then he'll have mercy on him. See, I understand that. Because I went to church more than Christmas and Easter. I had a white Bible they gave me when I was 13 years old, and I passed the test. I knew when to stand up and I knew when to sit down, and I could sing the doxology backwards. I get it. But I was unrighteous. And I was unworthy. I was a mess. I was just like he's talking about right here. The wicked. I was wicked. But guess what? When I turned around one day, Jesus didn't beat me up. He didn't cuss me out. He didn't stand me in the corner with my nose in the corner for 2 weeks until I qualified for salvation. He didn't give me a list of things I need to do. Well, you just need to go take that class again. Well, after you've attended church now for 2.5 years, we're going to count you worthy. Right there in my mess, he said, I forgive you. Like all of it. I mean, that's the greatest thing can happen to a man who grew up like me. I mean, I know he's got a list, and I can remember some of it. They ain't no telling how much he got wrote down. And he just wiped the page. It's like he turned around and had my book of all the crud I'd done since I was a little kid. And all of a sudden, there were no more words on the page. It was as though it never happened. Mercy on a sinner. That's why salvation is precious. Not to be taken for granted, not to be watered down, not to be played with, not to be lied about. It's not about your day in the tomb. It's about your day upright, living, living for the glory of God. And our God, he will abundantly pardon. I just wanted to hit on that for just a minute because I believe there's Christians everywhere that are still guilty. You're not guilty in the eyes of God, but you're guilty in the mirror when you're brushing your teeth in the morning. You've characterized yourself by your mistakes because you've had so few successes, and you just think you're going to be a walking screw up the rest of your life. Don't breathe that into your children, okay? Breathe that can do. Yeah, you mess up, get up and try again. God's grace is sufficient for everything we try to do. Come back to Jesus. Come back. Because he will pardon abundantly. Does anybody know what good news that is for humans? Humans really need this. Y'all realize that? This is a good deal. But here's God. And this is the part I really want to talk about tonight. On down through here just real quick. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That finally really brought peace to my life. Because the longer I stay in this word, and the longer I walk with Jesus, the harder it is for me to hear and be around different things and different people that tell different things about God and their thoughts. Well, I just believe God is this way, or I believe God's that way. Or let me tell you, we all believe God's that way. God is it. You know what? You don't know who God is. Ain't one of us in this building has elevated your mind to that spot yet. I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm going to tell you it's a journey. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. God is who he is, and it does not matter what somebody says about our God. Your seminary, your theologies, your stuff will not change who God is. And we got to get that. God is absolutely God. And this Bible absolutely tells who he is, how he is, where he is right now. That's why I cannot afford for somebody else to tell me what this book says, because we could get a twisted depiction of who God is, because we have people in the earth who pretend to know just exactly how he is and what he's thinking. My thoughts are higher. My ways are higher. This is the heavens are above the earth. Do I have the mind of Christ? I absolutely do. Because the Bible said when I received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from top of head to bottom of feet, that I received the mind of Christ. But until I've renewed my mind, you see, the Holy Ghost won't renew your mind. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, let your mind be renewed by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you revelation of who God is according to His Word and only according to His Word. You get revelation, but you got to have the Word. Apart from the Word, we can do nothing. You cannot be a follower of Jesus without the Word. That won't work. You won't even know if you can hear God without the Word. You don't know if you heard God or had too much chili on your chili dog last night. You'll be another person walking around guessing. We've got people all over the world today in all kinds of spiritual gatherings where they believe everything that's spiritual is God. That's not true. The deceiver has been imitating the perfect since the beginning of time. If you don't believe me, go back to the book of Exodus and just read about the 10 plagues and how many out of them that the magicians imitated the very same thing that Moses stood right up there, him and Aaron, and called for things to happen and predicted things to happen. And then the sorcerers would do the exact same thing. Listen, that deceiver understands the Scriptures. That's how he twisted them in the garden. He gets it. If we don't get it, then the deceiver, even if he's up here, can tell you some things and you'll just drink the Kool-Aid. Be careful in America today that we don't begin to worship a Jesus that doesn't exist. Ouch. We're mankind of His making. He's not the God of our making. He is who He is, and He is the I Am, and He will not change. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. What's the journey in this life to try to get there? If you won't elevate your mind, you'll never reach your full potential. We'll always remain dependent. So if He said that for whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and the truth will make you free, then how did we become as a society so enslaved to the institutions of men? We've got Pharaoh again, and we've got slavery again. We've got whole ethnic groups that are enslaved now to victim mentality. We've got the captives again. Some days I feel like Moses, let my people go. That's exactly how we prayed during the COVID fiasco. Let my people go. Jesus set the captives free. So that means free from dependency on the institutions of men. So last Friday, when I stood in that room and I tried really hard not to say it, and God just wouldn't let me off the hook. Finally, at the end, I said, if I never go to church another day, I'll be fine. You talk about sucking the air out of the room. I'm standing in one. Do you realize without people, that building does not survive? The church survives. The organization doesn't survive. But if I don't go home to my family and I don't start ministering in my gifts and I don't start tending to business at home, then I'm sunk. I'm sunk. Now, if coming to these gatherings like this right here will help you go home and do what you need to do and do what you're called to do and exercise your gift, minister to your family and become dependent on that institution, then by all means, let's gather up and talk about it, and then let's get out of here and go do it. But just to gather up, because this is what makes God happy, some days I think it makes Him want to puke watching some of this. It's almost ridiculous. Because we've took the word out of it. Don't want to do this with the word anymore. I would love to, you know, my family, their boys are learning at home now. I don't know how long we'll enjoy it, but it's nice to look over the fence and be able to see them all day. I like it. Hope they learn something. But their yesterday morning's reading exercise was in the Bible, in a devotional book. You know, Daniel Webster promoted it that way. You know that probably over 80% of our college students in America today couldn't even read the eighth grade primer written by Daniel Webster, where the alphabet was all labeled with scripture, like A was for this and B is for that, and it all came straight out of the Bible. And we removed all that from our society. Do you know what that tells me? It had already left our house. I've preached in churches all over this United States of America. Do you know who has the highest percentage of people that bring their Bibles to church that I've ever been in myself? This one. I've been in some where nobody did. Now, if you're not going to take your Bible to a Bible study, I'm pretty darn sure you don't open it at home. Wouldn't you think? Is this thing important? It will be after tonight. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and bring it forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or fruitless, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return, but water the earth and bring it forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth, it shall not return to me void. It shall, God said, it shall. How many of y'all think Jesus lies? If God said it shall, that means that's how it is. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I remember one time, because this gets used in a lot of prosperity messages. Seed for the sower and bread for the eater. I'm telling you, every time you get a chance, if you'll hand it to one of these guys in a 14-piece seersucker suit, they'll find everything in here and make it about the money. You guys drive me nuts. Money never was seed. Don't fall for that crud. If you don't believe me, go plant a $100 bill in your backyard, come back next year and see what you got. You're going to have a musty $100 bill. It won't grow nothing. The word. So look what we did. We took and made it all about our prosperity, didn't we? Do you want to prosper? Would you like to have money left at the end of the month or month left at the end of the money? This will show you how to sew up the holes in your purse. Seen it happen. The last time we went broke will be the last time we went broke. We've done it enthusiastically. 3 times we practiced. So when COVID came and sucked a chunk out of my billfold, we just laughed. We already did this. God's word is faithful. So let's make a prosperity message out of this right quick. So what we did at our house, I didn't call my preacher. He wouldn't have known what I was talking about. He'd have probably told me to tithe more. Been his answer. With what? I didn't have anything. And so we gather up as a family. My girls are little. We junior rodeo This is their life. A couple of you guys sitting around here know what I'm talking about. It takes a dollar or two to do that every weekend. I don't have very many dollars. What the bank didn't get, the IRS had already locked up, and I was in a mess. I was in nine-line buying, buddy. I'm talking about, like, it was a real kind. It wasn't just jacking around. I had to ask permission to buy a stick of bubble gum. I mean, it was rough for a minute. And I just set everybody down at my house, and we set the Bible down. And I said, okay, here's a couple things we've got to talk about. I'm just telling you a real-life story because I don't like telling somebody else's. So I just laid my Bible down. And I said, well, y'all, Dad has made a couple errors. I was pitching when I should have been catching. I ain't doing very good. I got a couple issues I got to get cleared up with the bank, and I got a little issue with the IRS, and I got some troubles. I don't have very much money, like I don't have any. So what I need to know is, are y'all okay with me still being an auctioneer and doing what I do for a living? Do you think that's where I'm supposed to be? You think that's our life? Yeah. Y'all agree on that? Yeah. So this rodeo thing we got going on, do you girls really feel that's where you're supposed to be? That's what we do? Is this what we're going to do? Is this how we're going to live? Praise God we never quit because it's extremely generational at our house. Praise God we didn't give up on stuff that's called life. They said, yeah, this is what we want to do, Dad. I said, okay, we'll figure it out. I said, I got $700 that nobody knows about. I'll get us some calves Wednesday. I bought one Murph that had a blind eye. I bought another one that was crooked-headed with the ear down. I bought another one that was bob-tailed. I think I got four for $700, a little under $700. I think I had a little change left. So my girls now had four roping calves. We're rich. We're doing good. Oh, I was still working all the time, so we muddled around. We had enough money to pay some interest fees. And I went to reading through my Bible, and we talked about it in that right there. We prayed about it, said, God, take your word and show us how to do this. And he taught me about working and receiving. He taught me about sewing up the holes in my purse. So I started looking where the leaks were. Took a long time to close up the leaks. Had a lot of leaks because I had a lot of dependency on institutions. I got the leaks tied up. We do okay now. Kelsey actually got to go to 4 years of college roping calves around the neck. That's all she had to do was put a little white rope around a calf's neck every weekend, and she got to go to college. Made it to nationals twice, and won a region once, and because of the word. There was no other reason but because of the word, and it will not return void, and it will accomplish everything that God set it out to do. And every task that you apply this word to, it will bring it to the right place. Every time. It'll do it every time. But it's not going to happen by calling somebody up and say, can you give me a few scriptures? Well, that might work, but you're going to have to go apply them. Calling your prayer chain and just have everybody pray over you because you got your shorts on backwards. That ain't going to work. You're going to have to get undressed and put your shorts on right all by yourself. This book will tell you how to get shorts on right. It's a good book. This book will keep you in right standing with God. So when you come undone over a state livestock inspector in the middle of your horse sale this weekend, this book will allow you to repent and call and apologize and ask for forgiveness so that you can stay in right standing with God and live in peace and not turmoil and not be all jacked up over stuff all the time. I don't want to whip anybody today because of this book. This book, it will accomplish. Now listen to verse 12 and I'm going to quit. If you do all this, for you shall go out with joy. You'll be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills will break out in singing.
Well, that concludes our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.